How many enjoyed that worship today and you feel Jesus? I feel Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for coming in person and for you watching through our online campus. Troy could have just preached today. I could have just sat there in the front row and had him preach today. Love the worship. Love the team here. Love you. Summer and I are honored to be a part of this great church. And, you know, great things are happening through all that we're facing. And yet, I believe this. The best is yet to come. How many believe that the best is yet to come because of Jesus? And I'm excited to preach this message today. Now, this is the third week of a series we're doing called Naked and Not Ashamed. And I pray it's been a blessing to you. And, you know, I just believe that God wants us to understand his plan for our lives in every area, including the sexual part of our lives. And so we've had these messages distinct for this subject, and today we're wrapping this up. And I want to preach a message entitled, Why Purity? If you don't mind, just say that with me and say, Why Purity? And I believe today this will speak to you. Now, this message is not for one segment of a relationship status, if you will. This is for all of us, young and old, you know, married or single, divorced, widowed, you know, dating, engaged, don't want to be married or looking to be married. Doesn't matter who we are today. In this room and online, this message, I believe, applies to us. And I want to read these verses, and then I want to pray. And I just want to pull out from these verses today. There's so much here, but I want to pull out just some real concise thoughts, two of them, to help us understand what I believe is why God has purity and what he is wanting from us. But what is the connection, I would say, even to a deeper level with this idea and topic? So if you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If not, they'll put it on the screen and just follow me, please. But this is a general, a leader in the first century church. His name was Paul. Had a great conversion. And he's writing to a young man named Timothy. And he says this. He says, if you keep yourself pure, he says, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and notice this, and you will be ready for the Master, Jesus, to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So, Father, today I thank you for this great worship experience, and I thank you for what you're doing both in this building, all over this property, and for those watching online. I pray that all of us in this building and at home will be kept safe wherever we go as we navigate all the stuff going on around us. I pray that also all of us would lay down right now any resistance. We would set aside any distraction, and we would just lean in to receive something from you to take one step forward in our faith today. I thank you, Jesus, for moving in an increased manner in this message. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. I think it's amazing when I see this verse or these verses, and when I think of verse 22, it blows my mind that God, who the Bible says is perfect and holy, he sits above the earth, wants to use someone like me and wants to use someone like you. All of us are flawed, and all of us have struggles in multiple areas, and yet God is actively seeking to use you and me. It blows my mind, because I don't know about you, but I don't deserve it, right? But it's the grace and the goodness of God. But this area of, and this idea of God using us, really is a message in and of itself, because it speaks to two things. First off, God's view of me and you. God sees you and I with more purpose than we know, more influence than we know, and more value than we know. It also speaks, though, too, at times No matter our economic status, our gender, our background, it doesn't matter. It also speaks to, at times, probably the idea about ourselves that we have that would say, I don't have value, I don't have influence, and I don't know what my purpose is, or I don't have a purpose, and I'm just kind of existing. And those two ideas colliding. But in truth, God has something for you and for me. No one is an accident in this room and online. Everyone is here for a reason, and I believe you're here to do something beyond what you know, because God is greater than us, and when we allow God to move in our life, anything can happen. How many believe in that? I believe that for you and for me. Now, how does this tie into purity? Because notice in verse 22, the idea of this man of God talking to this young man was to be pure so that you can be used for God. In fact, for an honorable use. Then he says to be clean so that you would be ready for every good work. It's phenomenal. And so purity is connected to God. And purity in multiple ways. But for this series in verse 22, we know he's referencing the sexual part of our lives. This is important because at City Church, I believe that God loves every detail of our lives and God wants to be involved in it so that he can heal us and that he can guide us and give us what he wants us to have. And so the idea of purity can be combated, you know, right now with that's old fashioned. It's not up to date and no one's doing, you know, purity that way anymore. That it doesn't apply to me. No one's going to tell me to do or what to do with my body. It's my body. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And many other kind of arguments against this. But I think we have to understand that God is never involved in taking something from us or, you know, restricting us or, you know, suppressing us. God is our Father, and he's trying to get something to us, and he wants us to enjoy the first intent that he made for Adam and Eve so that you and I can understand how powerful God is in every area of our life. And when it comes to purity, biblically, we go back to Genesis. The definition of purity, I believe from a scriptural standpoint, is God made Adam. And all of a sudden, he was asleep, and God made Eve, and he woke up, and he was stunned. And he said, woman. He was taken back. And men today are saying, woman. Amen, right? And he says, you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he said, I'm going to call you woman. And the Bible says right after that, this verse. A man, not a woman, a man shall leave his mom and dad, shall cling to his wife, and the two shall be one, means intimate. Then it says, Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. So notice the first intent that God gave Adam and Eve is this. Sex is a gift from God. Sex is not the problem. The problem is the devil perverting sex. God gave it to Adam and Eve. And they were naked and not ashamed. And this idea of being safe, and we see there where he talks about how a man shall leave his family and cling to his wife and create a new family. And this idea of sexual protection and beauty and the, I would say, the augmentation of the gift within marriage. Now, people can say, well, but yeah, but I don't understand that. And, you know, why doesn't God just let me do what I want to do? Because I believe that God knows everything and God is the creator and we are the creation. And I would encourage all of us in this room and online to approach every aspect of our life with this in mind. That God made me, therefore what he wants for me is better at times than what I want for myself. Thank you for the great response to that statement. For example, we have a common argument today that is saying that we are the creator. We create our truth. We create our world. We create our experience. And while you and I have the right today to leave this building or to turn me off online, and we have the right and the choice and the ability to decide to do something wrong. Absolutely. Your body is your own. You can do whatever you want to do to it. And we have that power and we have that ability. However, when I let God lead what I do with my life, I can have the fruit that God wants to bring to my life, and this includes in the sexual part of my behavior. When I let God lead me and I let God guide me and I understand that he's in charge and I'm not, then I can receive the blessings and the benefits. For example, even, you know, not that this message is about this, but even with money in God, I've learned a long time ago that I am stewarding. I don't have, it's not my money. God is blessing me with money. I'm the manager or the steward of money. So tithes and offerings has become easier for me because it's not mine, it's his. I'm just managing what he gives me so I can honor him and bless my family. Thank you again for the great applause and response. So notice in verse 22, we have this idea of purity and purity being leaked to, are being linked to being used. So if God wants to use my life, then I also have to know that the enemy wants to use my life. God wants to do good things. The enemy wants to corrupt those things. So I want to break this down in my remaining moments with you. My first thought in this idea of why purity is the point used. You know, it's interesting in verse 22, he tells this young man, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Some would say, well, I'm not youthful. This doesn't apply to me. I'm past that phase. But I would say to you, that's not true. Even those of us that are older in life, if there's anything that is stimulating a youthful lust, run from it. For example, yesterday on Facebook, I'm hanging out with my family and I get a friend request that I clearly can understand and see this has porn attached to it. And so I showed my wife all this stuff. And so obviously I deleted it and didn't accept it. But I knew if I did accept it, it would try to stimulate lust in me that is not right. And so I want to encourage you today, anyone, any status of life, stage of life, if there's anything that is tempting you in a sexual way that is going outside of the boundaries of what God has, I am encouraging you and myself to run. And don't turn back. Because the enemy is trying to do something. What's he trying to do? Again, remember, we see, so you can be used by Jesus for every good work. You know there's multiple definitions of the word used. Check out this definition. This would be the devil's work. This definition of the word used is to exploit someone for one's own advantage. To exploit someone for one's own advantage. By the mere number of people in this room and online, and just from my experience in life, every single one of us at some point has experienced this very thing. Someone in whatever capacity, money, sex, friendship, school, work, with race, whatever it is, unfortunately, with the fall of man, every one of us has been exploited for someone else's advantage. And maybe we've done that to someone else ourselves. And none of us want to go back to that point. No human being wants to be used and be exploited. No one in their right mind wants to be in this predicament and be, just used and manipulated for someone else's cause. God is not in it, and this is not the work of the Lord. This is the work of the enemy. And when it comes to purity in our life, we have to understand that when you and I are tempted, possibly, to get mad at God or argue with God about this idea of sex in my life and to say this and this and that and what about this and this, we're missing something because what the enemy is trying to do is exploit us for his own advantage, which would bring wrong things to our life. We have to understand that every decision that I make, there is fruit that comes with it. In other words, as I move in life, there are things that will come back to me at the decision that I made. There's a product. There's an end result to my decision. So if I let the devil use me in this area, in any area, but you know, for today, in the sexual part of my life, if I let the devil use me and if I just go my way and I want to do it my way in my marriage as a single person, I've been single, I've dated, I've been engaged, and I'm married. I understand what it's like to walk this out. It's not easy. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're widowed. Maybe you want to be married. You don't want to be married. Maybe you're praying for your spouse to come. No matter where you're at, hear me. When you and I are used by the enemy and that lust is being stimulated, here is some of the fruit that's going to come to our life. Hate, sadness, unforgiveness, dysfunction, unhealthy dynamics, no purpose, manipulation, empty promises, lies, potential abandonment, coerced to do what we don't want to do, people debating to get their way and putting us in positions that are not right. This is what the enemy wants to do, and yet God wants to set us free. Notice the enemy wants to put shame on us, to disconnect us, to bring us into unfulfillment and being filled with lies or being lied to. And so the enemy is trying to use us to exploit us. So I want to encourage you today, whatever it is that could stimulate lust, run from it. If it's porn, please hear me. Porn is trying, I've seen porn, how about you? Everyone's getting nervous right now. How did I get to church today? I don't know what I'm doing here. Honey, let's get out of here quick. Stay seated. Don't turn me off. In my lifetime, I've seen it. And probably many of you, most of us have. Or we've seen something that was not right or crossed boundaries. Run from it. It's trying to put its claws in us to fill us with things that are totally outside the boundaries of what God wants. If it's magazines, if it's conversations, if it's people, if it's, you know, movies or whatever, please run from it. Cut it off. Stop it. It's not, it feels good or it looks good or it looks whatever, but it's a lie. He's trying to get you and I to be exploited for his own advantage. And none of us ever want to be used like that again. And so the enemy is manipulating and conning people to believe that they are their God and God will not tell them what to do. But in the meantime, he's deceiving them to exploit them and to take advantage of them and destroy their life. But there's good news today. There's a better way. Do you want to hear it today? All right. See, I'm going somewhere good. Notice again in verse 21 that the Apostle Paul said, keep yourself pure so God can use you. An honorable use. Then he said, if you keep yourself pure, Jesus wants to do every good work through you. So God doesn't use us. God makes us useful. Everyone say useful. Notice how the devil takes. Being used is I'm taking something from you. I want something from you. I'm going to take something and leave you empty-handed. I'm not going to give back what you give me. I'm going to take from you, and I'm going to have more. You're going to have less. That's the enemy that's used. But useful is something totally different. Because remember, there's multiple definitions for the word used. Check out this definition. This definition means to take hold of something, we could say even someone in God, as a means of accomplishing a purpose. To take hold of something or someone as a means to accomplish a purpose. To take hold of someone or something as a means to accomplish a purpose. One more time. To take hold of someone or something as a means to accomplish a purpose. Notice the night and day difference. The enemy's using people. God wants to make us useful and not deplete us, but God wants to take hold of us and accomplish a purpose in our lives. This is what's amazing, that no matter the mistakes we've made in any area of our life and in the sex part of our life, no matter our story, our family history, our struggle, or whatever else, God wants to use you and me. And furthermore, God has a purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for the homeless and the wealthy. He has a purpose for the pro athlete and for those that are poor. He has a purpose for all ethnicities. He has a purpose for male and female. He has a purpose for every single person because he wove them in their mother's womb, and it doesn't matter how they were conceived. God has them on his mind and he wants to use them for his glory. And what's phenomenal, amen, give it up for this God. He's great. And what's amazing, folks, is just think about this. Is that no matter what we've been through, God of heaven wants to come take hold of you and me. And he wants to partner with us and accomplish a purpose in our lives. And I'm reminded of what the Bible says in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to God's power in us. Just think about this for a moment. God wants to do things in your life that you can't even think of. He wants to blow your mind with the goodness of God and the purpose of God. And check it out. This may freak you out. That also connects to your sex life. The devil tells us, people tell us, that sex outside of marriage or outside of these boundaries is the fun way. It's the good way. It's the exciting way. It's what everyone wants to do. And sex in marriage is boring and old, and it's dull, and your life's over. That's totally a lie. This is using us, depleting us, and I've been in that situation. I've been used in many ways, but in this way too. And it depletes us, it hurts us, it decays us, it tears us down. But this over here is where we're safe and we're in God's plan and we can grow old together and we can enjoy one another, thank the Lord. And we can enjoy the gift that God gave. And in the process, one person believes it. And in the process, how about you online? Go ahead. In the process, God will never use us in terms of exploiting us. God will make us useful to accomplish a purpose. I just want to put this out there. Could it be that the devil is playing a great con game? Making us think that being used and exploited is actually the good thing. And being useful by God is actually the wrong thing. And tricking us to think that I'm my own God. And no one's going to tell me what to do. And in the end, for analogy purposes, if we do that lifestyle, we go to the tree of the fruit of our decisions. And take that apple and bite into that and find out it was all a lie. I know this part, this topic in church is awkward and it shouldn't be. And I know for me, like I've told you so many times, I was molested. I had sexual sin in high school and God saved me and delivered me. And check it out, when I got to Bible college, I had women hit on me. And it was like following me around. Like this lifestyle was like trying to follow me. I can't explain it. One time I got to that church early. And me and my friend, man, were brought out of so much. He's my best friend today, one of my accountability partners. We got to church early one day. This is just what the enemy wants to do to us. So I got to church early. The band's rehearsing. This really pretty lady on the stage, after they're done, comes and finds me halfway back. No one's in there really. And sits by me and asks me, I'm on a date. And nothing wrong with that, but it's like I knew it was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. Can you be honest today? You know when it's not right. I knew it. And it was like another girl sat by me and like was trying to hit on me. And then another girl, you told me she locked her keys in the car to pick her up. And I knew it was the setup. I knew it. And I almost went. I mean, all this stuff was happening to me at a Bible college. But I know what it was. It was like this spirit, like trying to follow me and trying to trap me into just more mess, using me, exploiting me for someone else's advantage. And so I remember I was so tempted by all these different women that when this lady called me and said, I locked my keys in my car, bad, like what? You know, really? I need you to come to my work and pick me up and take me home. Is that really? Like, come on, I knew it. I was on the street for a while. I know the game. Some of you were too, okay? It's like, this is not the Lord, okay? And I was this close. And I called my cousin and she said, don't you do that. You better take someone with you. And inside I was ticked off. I was like, why did I call her? I want to go. But I knew she was right. And I took someone with me. His name was Charlie. And we go to her work. This girl comes out with a mini, mini dress. It was like the cousin to the mini. I don't know what you call it. And then her chest was out. I was like, oh, God, Jesus. I just escaped the trap. I just got out barely. She got in the car. She was mad at me. When I dropped her off, she never talked to me again. I'm just telling you, I understand this is hard. Like, trust me, I get this. And yet I know the Holy Spirit can help those that are single do this. And I know the Holy Spirit can help those that are single help you find the right mate. And I know the Holy Spirit can help you who are dating. And I know the Holy Spirit can help you that are engaged. And I know the Holy Spirit can help you that are married to have a thriving, great sex life that God intended for your marriage. And those of you that are divorced and widowed, I know the Holy Spirit can help you too. Because the fruit of this, of being useful in God, notice the vast difference. God uses us to accomplish a purpose. The enemy, he depletes us. He exploits us. But when I go with God and I allow him to help me be pure in my imperfect way, just to do my best, here's what happens over time. That fruit coming back to me is love, joy, forgiveness, unity, healing, purpose, healthy dynamics, an honest life, trust, serving, commitment, all the stuff. Isn't that what we want? Yes. It's what all of us want in this room and online. And today, I want to encourage you, possibly, if this is the case, please stop seeing purity as like this confinement of God in your life, and he's robbing you of all the things you want to do, and begin to see it. It's actually the opening of the doors to not being used, but being useful and having the purpose of God fulfilled. And in the midst of sexual tension and sexual desires in marriage or not, God will help you and I overcome, walk through it, and to have what God says we can have. Can someone give it up for this bad mamma jamma Jesus? Amen. And as I close, I think about a few stories in our church that we've seen over the years. I remember a lady coming, and she received Jesus, and she said, I was a prostitute. Man. The goodness of God. Can God do anything with me? Today, that woman is pure. She was exploited, but now God is accomplishing a purpose through her life. She's married, man. She's walking with God. She went from being used to useful. That's what God can do. I think about some of the people in our church that unfortunately were assaulted and even raped, and their life was shattered by the violence against them sexually. And I've seen God take these ladies and make them women of God and heal them. And today they're married and they have kids and they're in the ministry and they escape the enemy's plot to exploit them, and they're being used by the hand of God in a useful way. This is what God can do. I also remember the young man who came to me and he said, PD, I want to be a virgin when I get married, but it's so hard. I said, dude, I know. And he was holding on. He was like, can I get married? Will God give me someone? And he was kind of an awkward guy, and God brought him a girl. A beautiful girl, and he was going nuts. We all were. We were like, God does miracles. Hallelujah. And then he was like, but I want to be a virgin. I said, dude, you can do this. Hold out, man. And we were helping him walk through it. And he felt that tension. And then you don't understand the feeling on his wedding day. He came up to me and he said, I made it. He goes, I made it. I did this. And he goes, tonight's the night. And he fell out. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. It's the Holy Spirit, maybe. I don't know. I've seen all types of angles to this, okay? I'm trying to give you context. And yet, with every single one of these stories and more, the stories are the same. In that, when Jesus shows up, he can help us do this. And you and I don't have to be exploited, or we don't have to exploit anyone else, but we can be touched by the hand of God and used for a purpose that is above the debating. It's above the arguing. It's above, well, did the Bible mean? No, no, no. Come on, go higher. Go higher. What's God wanting to do with me? I'm more than a sexual object. I'm a child of the Most High God. And God can do something in my life that makes a difference for eternity. I want to encourage you with this today. Everyone in this room and online, no matter your relationship status, no matter your age, no matter what, I would encourage everyone to pursue purity and think about, this is just practical steps here for you to think about moving forward. Think about the software Covenant Eyes to put on your phone. Put on your iPad, put on your computer. I have it on my phone. I have it on my boys' phones. I have it on my wife's phone. You know, I have accountability set up for me so that I am safe. And I want to encourage everyone in here, please don't play with this part of your life. It's hard. Let's be honest. It's hard. I'm getting friend requests by, you know, I mean, this porn stuff. We're all getting attacked in multiple, or not just porn, but in multiple ways. We need support. So think about Covenant Eyes for just a practical accountability. My wife, if I mess up, she gets the report and I get dead. Okay? I have two men in my life that are around my age. They're like brothers to me. They ask me questions. And I ask them questions. Both of them are pastors in other cities. They're my boys, man. My dad. It's the weirdest thing to have your dad ask you, how you doing in your purity? Well, let's sit down and talk about this, Dad. How are you and Summer doing? And man, it's awkward, but I'm glad I have someone that cares enough to ask me what's going on. Because I'm living for God. I'm loving my wife and my kids, and I want to honor all of you because I have to answer to God for it. I'm not here jacking around. I'm living for the Lord. But I got safety around me to help me do it. So everyone, consider some type of accountability, you know, program, but I love Covenant Eyes. For married people in this room and online, you would say today, Pastor Dave, I believe it, but our sex life is totally disconnected. We are at odds with each other, and there is no love, there is no tenderness, there is no romance. I would ask you a couple things, or I would suggest a couple things. First and foremost, please come see a pastor in confidence or a counselor, and don't hide in the dark, but get out in the light and ask for help. I would also suggest another practical tool is there's an app for your phone called Ultimate Intimacy for married couples that was created by a Christian couple that has great resources in this area of a marital relationship that I would encourage you, please just don't sit and, if you will, just you kind of, you know, waste away. Take active steps. Don't settle for disconnected life, a living. Don't settle, you know, for hating each other. Move forward. Let God do a miracle in every area of your marriage, including your romance. For those of you that are engaged and you're getting close to being married, I would encourage you to think about buying the book Intended for Pleasure by Dr. Wheat. It's a Christian book, but it's a great resource for you to have. I'm just giving you practical steps here, okay? I want to encourage you to do that and then talk about it, but probably talk about it over the phone so you're not tempted if you talk about it together. Let's just be real. Only three people laughed, but it's the truth. Then for those that are single, married, widowed, divorced, dating or engaged, want to be married, don't want to be married, looking for a spouse, or content to be single maybe the rest of your days, I would ask all of us this. Join a group. Have accountability. Get in a group in the summer or in the fall, whenever you're ready. But I would just suggest to you, get in a room, get in a circle with other people. I know it's weird. I know it's awkward. I know maybe you don't know people, but just do it because you'll find there are people that are just like you on multiple, you know, levels that will help you move forward in your faith. I would also encourage you to go to Next Steps. You know, and Next Steps is the gateway here at City, and it will help you get into community and help us get to know you. I would also encourage you, if you are a new Christian or you've just received Jesus, go to the New Believers group happening right now during the 11:30 worship experience in the green room. Please go to that. We want to help you get fortified in your faith. I'm just asking you to take practical steps so that you and I go, so that we're not used, but rather we remain useful and we let God use our lives. How many believe that God can do this for us today? I believe He can. I believe He will. Let's stand to our feet, and you online, maybe just bow your head as you're watching at home. I would ask you today, man, God is good. If God could set me free, this is for someone here. If God could set me free, He can set you free. And even when it chases you down and it's coming for you, I know what that's like. He'll protect you and you can escape and have what God wants you to have. If you would, bow your head and bow your heart in this room and online. And you would say, you know, today I've never received Jesus, and or I have, but I'm far from God and I need to come back to Him. If that's you in this moment and you need to receive Jesus today for the first time or run back to Him, if that's you, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Thank you. God bless you today. Someone's coming to God. I love it. Isn't that great? Thank you for trusting us, those that raise their hand. And then lastly, you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I need help in purity. I don't want to be exploited. I don't want to be manipulated. I want to be useful. I want God to touch my life and accomplish a purpose through me that is beyond what I can do. And I need God's help in my purity. As heads are bowed and hearts are bowed, if that's you today, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room, and I'm raising my hand with you. It's a constant decision. Thank you. Follow me and say, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I'm yours forever. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I'm yours forever. Save me. And I choose, through the Holy Spirit, to be pure, to be useful in your hand. Use me for your glory. I'm all yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Him one more great hand clap of praise. I believe He's starting to move on our prayers. He's going to help us.